In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
And sisters, just last Sunday, we came upon the midpoint of the fast, and the Holy Cross of the Lord was put in the center of the church to be at the forefront of our minds. And we said that it's actually this cross of Christ that brings about great satisfaction. The satisfying of the human person who has returned in Christ through the cross to union with God. And it's through the cross that the door of God's providence is open to us in our lives. The cross is the key. We don't keep the cross on our keychains, but it would be good to have it handy for every moment of our life, because every single day that cross is used to unlock God's providence for us. In fact, we don't keep it on our keychains in our pockets or pocketbooks, but we keep it around our neck, so it's always there at hand. Because the cross, again, is so central to everything we do in our life. We might even say that the cross is our life. Today, the church brings before us another image, and this is the ladder of divine ascent. You see the icon here. We've spoken about the ladder of divine ascent many times. It's a ladder with 30 rungs or steps leading from earth to heaven, from death to life, from sin to union with God. This ladder was an illustration made by the abbot of the monastery of St. Catherine's at Mount Sinai, the venerable and saintly John, who will be called John of the Ladder. And he wrote a wonderful book about these spiritual steps and how we can make this ascent. Today, I want to speak to you about another image, though. And that's the image of the bracket. We all know our theology, our Christology, soteriology, eschatology, all of these ologies about our faith. Everyone knows bracketology? Everyone's heard that term, right? Who's heard bracketology? Anyone? Bracketology has to deal with March Madness, right? Do you know what March Madness is? Who knows what March Madness is? Anyone know? Okay. It's the college basketball tournament. It's tournament time, where the top 64 teams in college basketball compete against one another in a tournament to find out who is the best team. Who is going to be the champion for that year? And people often fill out brackets, the tournament bracket, in advance. They try to predict who they think is going to win. And my son Alex did his first bracket this year. He just made the pumping fist sign, but he'll tell you his bracket was busted pretty early on. It's very difficult to predict what teams are going to win. I'll show you my bracket. This is my bracket here. You'll see it's not filled in yet. I'm waiting till after the championship game to do that. Because I want to win. Who doesn't want to win, right? In fact, that's why we're here in the church. Because we want to win, and win big, in that which matters most. You know, this bracket is a great tool for us to understand our life. We want to win at life. We want to be successful. And every single day, there are challenges that we have to step up to. There's an opposition that we have to face. And sometimes that opposition, we might think is stronger than we are. We're not able to overcome. We're not able to be victorious. You know, when we think about this bracket and these matchups in a spiritual sense, we think about the great matchups and opposition between vice and virtue, between darkness and light, between death and life. And if we were to fill in our brackets, we would always say that virtue beats vice. Light beats darkness. Life beats death. Right? We would fill that out and we would be right on track. having predicted that God is the great victor over all. But sometimes we don't, in actuality, live that way. When we're challenged daily with these choices between vice and virtue, we might make the wrong choice. We might be supporting the wrong team. You know, it's easy to say in the battle of gluttony versus self-control, we are in favor of self-control. Lust versus chastity, chastity is our team. Pride versus humility, we root for humility, etc. But what about when the challenge is between hummus and pita bread versus Chick-fil-A's spicy chicken sandwich? A little harder. How about morning prayers versus the snooze button? Or maybe the evening presanctified liturgy versus anything else we do on Wednesday nights? Maybe the fifth week of the fast versus a vacation at Sandals, five-star luxury resort? Or perhaps even my patience versus the length of Father John's sermons. These are the challenges actually that we do face daily, right? These are where the rubber meets the road. And those are only, by the way, first round matchups, the round of 64. It gets a little bit harder as we go on. You guys know that after the round of 64, there's the round of 32. What is that called? I don't know. But then after that, there's what? The Sweet 16, then the Elite 8, the Final Four, and the Championship round. Let's go to the Sweet 16. And I'll give you some examples there that are a little more challenging. My career path versus my family life. My politics versus my Christian faith. My future financial goals versus the present need of the poor. My grudges and resentments versus forgiveness and reconciliation. A little bit harder. If you were to go to the Final Four, you might end up with the way of the world, which I have become so accustomed to the new life in Christ that the church is putting before me. And the other matchup in the Final Four would be all the self-preservation that I could possibly muster versus death. These are hard matchups. But it's not the championship round. What would be the championship round if that's the Final Four? The championship round is us versus God. Us versus God. Our selfishness versus his selflessness. And of course, we know who wins in that matchup. For those who are March Madness lovers, who watch the games, who can't get enough of the highlights and all of that, you know that at the end, after the championship game, they do a recap and they play a song. What's the song that they play? It's the same song they play every single year. One Shining Moment. They play this song, One Shining Moment, and they show all of the highlights of the tournament. All the joys and all the sorrows of the teams who won and the teams who lost. They show the fans who have identified so much with those teams that when the team loses, they lose. When the team wins, they win. This One Shining Moment plays. And it's a great name. It's a great name to describe what happens at that final championship. Because ultimately, when we stand before God, it is that one shining moment when the light of Christ pierces through everything. all is revealed. And we're able to look upon ourselves as we truly are, to see life as it truly is, to see God as He truly is. This one shining moment. And it's actually at that time that we want to be able to fill out our bracket and be winners, right? We want to say, all right, this is how I wish I had lived my life. All of these contests and challenges and opportunities that I had. I want to be the one who chose rightly, as God's self-disclosure would instruct me. But sometimes when we look at our life, we see that we've actually busted our bracket. We haven't chosen properly. But we thought we were winning. We thought we were becoming so successful in life that in fact, we were conquering every obstacle that was before us. Except the problem is our value judgments. And that's what these are, right? When we come in confrontation with something, it's a value judgment. We say, well, I think this is better than this. This team is better than this team. This way is better than this way. We have these value judgments. And when we look at our bracket, we might say, well, maybe, those value judgments that I had were according to the world standard and not according to God's standard. And when His light shines, that's revealed to us. And we realize instead of looking at the scoreboard for how many points a team scored to see if they won, we were actually counting how many fouls they had, or how many air balls, or turnovers, or technicals, or missed shots, etc. We were counting all of the negative things as what mattered, rather than the actual score. We had messed up our value judgments. We were going about it all wrong. We thought we were winning, but we were actually losing. And all those matchups that we thought we had successfully navigated through, we actually didn't. But God was victorious in those, because He wins everything, not just the championship round, but He wins everything, every single instance of our life. No matter what we choose, whether we choose this or that over God, when we make that decision to value something more than Him, we lose. But by making that value judgment, it doesn't actually change reality. He still is greater than those things that we think are greater than Him, or we choose to make greater than Him. Our idolatry doesn't overcome theology. We can't change the reality of the world by filling up our bracket like we want the world to be. There are winners, and there are losers. And the winners are those who side with God, who identify with Him, they rejoice in Him. You know, when we were watching some of the games this year, it was first round, and Alex was eagerly circling the teams that won. We were watching one game, and he had picked this team to win, but the game was going very poorly for them. So I saw him out of the corner of my eye go over to his paper, grab his pencil. He was smart, he did it in pencil. And he started to erase it. I said, Alex, no, it doesn't work that way. You can't go back and change. Once you've made your choice, that's your choice. But actually, I was wrong. I was dead wrong. Because in life, we do have the opportunity to go back and to make corrections. That's called repentance and confession. When we review our life, we see all of the mistakes that we've made, how we put other things ahead of God, and we say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And not only are we able to change the past by this repentance and this confession, but also we're able to get back in the game, because now those losses have become victories. We are now advancing towards the kingdom by our repentance. Our bracket is no longer broken, but it's in good shape, because we are on the team of God. Brothers and sisters, Lent is a time where we are challenged to put God above all else. I encourage you in these remaining weeks, these remaining days, to do that. To do it, and also, as you do it, to review your past. Look at the decisions that you've made in the light of God's self-disclosure to us. See how they stack up against His teaching. See if you were at those moments using the cross around your neck to unlock His providence for your life. And if you weren't, and honestly, no one has a perfect record. We all have things that we've done wrong. Let's make our repentance for that. Let's ask forgiveness. Let's get back in the game, so to speak. Because what we're after is success. What we're after is victory. What we're after is life with God. And it's open to us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.